Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. Cynthia Freeland works for the NFL Network, breaks down NFL data. Joining us now on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Cynthia, one of my takeaways so far of the NFL season is the aggression of these head coaches, and I feel like they're almost being too aggressive. Like, being aggressive is cool, and they're trying to be cool. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I assume what you're talking about here is going for it on fourth down. So when I look to see around the league, like, the teams that are doing it well are actually, they're not being cool about it because ultimately they're practicing it and they're kind of like making it really nerdy. But then it feels like some of these copycat people, they come across as like, you know, like, oh shoot, everyone else is doing it, I need to do it as well. So I'm with you, but I think the ones like, I think Brandon Staley, you got to give him a little credit for that because with the quarterback on the field, he was 7 of 7, you know, going into last week's game.
Cynthia, I'm curious, too, from the standpoint of, because we had this argument a lot with the quarterbacks in Texas the last couple of years. When you start crunching numbers and everything and you look at guys and say, oh, they led the league in passing or they were top two or three, but a lot of them were garbage yards or they were achieved after they were down multiple touchdowns and that's all they could do was pass the football. When you start crunching numbers, is there a way to delve down that rabbit hole a little deeper and say, sure, you had this many yards in the season, but how many of those were meaningful yards when it was a one-score game?
Yeah, I mean, we could obviously sort it, like most of our staff stuff allow you to sort like that with one score games. But one thing that like a common fan could look at is success on first down, which sounds crazy, but you know, it's like, is the team getting at least 4, and I would argue 5 yards is a new 4 yards on first down, because most teams are now passing on first down, so the yards per play needs to be higher. You need to achieve more yards if you're passing the football than if you're running the football. So I would look at that, and then I would look at the success metric of, like, achievable third down. So, 3rd and 19, the defense absolutely knows that you're going to throw the ball, and, you know, it's kind of your best versus their best, and it doesn't always bounce either way, right? So, you know, I would say something like 3rd and 6 would be a really good indicator of what your quarterback's actually able to do, how good and valuable they are to the team, because you're absolutely right. Many of these passing guard numbers come from a crappy defense that's putting you in bad situations, and they don't need to win.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network. You can follow her on Twitter at C Freeland, joining us on the HR&P guest line. One of the things that used to always hear, and I don't think it's antiquated, but the way it looks might be different now, is this chart. Like, when to go for 2, how many points you're down, et cetera, et cetera. And now with the extra point move further back, too, the success rate on extra points, it's still very high, but it's not what it used to be whenever it was at the 2-yard line, 2.5-yard line. Like, the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, they were down by 14, they score, and they went for 2, when it was a 7-point spread, by the way. Like, how much has that chart changed, do you think, over the last few years?
Well, okay, we're not going to use the Eagles, the current Eagles, as a standard for anything, because current Eagles make nonsensical, irrational decisions by any metric. I'm not into that. But I do like the ones where you've got the people who are, they plan for it and execute it, because then they can exploit what's going on with the defense being confused. So if you're playing, like, I'm going to defend the Buffalo Bills here big time, because if you're playing that defense and you didn't have, and your own defense is gassed with no answer for Derrick Henry, it is smart to try to exploit, like, oh, they think you're going to kick it. I understand that wasn't going for it on 2, but it's almost the same scenario, right? Like a goal line, goal to goal situation, right? So, you know, you can exploit a mismatch in coverages. Someone who, you know, they're out there, they were starting cornerback number, I don't even know, you know, on that Tennessee defense. So it's really about creating, like, the situational awareness and being able to have, like, the coverages. If Josh Allen hadn't slipped through, we're talking about a completely different thing this week, as it relates to going for a fourth down, or consequently kind of a similar situation, a good comp for going for 2 points after instead of kicking the PAT.
Cynthia, I've always been wanting to ask analytics type people, numbers type people this question, because I come from the prince of analytics, or some people think the king of analytics, Daryl Morey. In working with him for years,
and all of his guys. Friend.
Well, I wouldn't claim
he's
that. You can claim that publicly if you want. I don't know if I'd say friend.
I can.
Okay.
I'm still with him. Listen.
Okay. All right, so
decisions and outcomes are two separate things. That's, you know, decisions versus outcomes, very different.
And that's where I'm headed. So he and I used to have these conversations some days in the lunchroom where I'd say, okay, I get everything that you're throwing at me from an analytics perspective, and it makes sense, and it's meaningful information, and you can use it. But at a certain point, there has to be kind of a trade-off between that and the eye test as well, right? Because I always said to him, I said, look, I know that you can tell me of all of our players which guy with 5 minutes to go on the clock in the fourth quarter goes left with his right hand and scores better than anybody else. But what about chemistry? What about when it comes down to, you know, crunch time? What about the kind
of
things?
Go ahead. Yeah, in football, what about when J.J. Watt's been beating up your right tackle the entire game? Or, you know, like, of course there's situations. Look, nobody is right. Like, it's so unsatisfying. There's no, like, nothing is certain. Everything is a scale, and all you're trying to do is incrementally get better opportunities. I need to cut you off while you finish, but, you know, the answer is no one's right.
Yeah, see, that's what I would say, because I think that the best, the people that do it the best use a happy mix, right? And I don't know what that mix is and what the percentages are, but I always believe that a lot of times the biggest problem that, especially from a fan perspective, is they get so entrenched in the numbers, they lose sight of the eye test and that human element as well.
People want a reason to, like, say their point is right. You know what I mean? Like, in life, everyone wants a reason to be like, oh, yeah, well, I think this, so, and here's my back, and here's how I back it up. But the reality is, you have to have trust, communication, knowledge, practice, all the things that go into it. And by the way, you can still be wrong. Josh Allen could still slip. You know, Josh Allen was 13-14 on 4 point, you know, fourth down and one or less, like, you know, quarterback sneak situations. 13-14, and the one prior that didn't go well was like a botched snap, like a botched like handoff, like ridiculous from the center. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, you can have the best decision and it could just go the wrong way. And the reality is you have to go regroup and say, hey, was our decision making sound? Yes or no? Okay, well, that's all we can control. Sometimes this stuff doesn't bounce our way, and we got to go back in and, like, just trust each other, get over it, move on. Next game, it's not the Super Bowl. We have another game. Well, the Bills are on a bye this week, but in 2 weeks, right? Right the ship.
Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network joining us on the HRMP guest line. You see all these advanced metrics used by these NFL head coaches these days, and the old school way of playing football is kind of gone, going by the wayside. But here in Houston, we have the head coach, David Culley, who calls analytics. Does that make you cringe a little bit? And also, what do you see in the expected value, plus or negative, that the Houston Texans are doing in the numbers game?
Okay, so first of all, I like David Culley. It did make me cringe. I mean, I laughed really hard because he comes from the Ravens. The Ravens are one of the best and most, like, well, they structure, pay, the whole thing that, like, you know, what you measure matters, right? And they measure the right things for analytics. So he doesn't need to say it pronounce it correctly. I don't pronounce everything correctly. I'm still going to laugh, but whatever. David Culley came in with a darn near impossible situation. That team has a lot of holes to fill, and it was not in a good situation when he took over, right? So I think as far as, like, commanding the room and figuring, like, how can you do better? I feel bad for him. He's in a bad situation. I'm not sure what the Texans are doing. I want to like the Texans. I spent a lot of time in Houston. I love Houston. I really enjoy the food there. Like, I have a lot of good Houston positive things, but this team has a lot. They have to come a very far distance, and, you know, it is the NFL, so a single offseason can change things, but, you know, it's unfortunate from a team that, you know, just a couple of seasons ago won three straight AFC South titles. Like, this is a much different, this is not, it's not a great situation.
Cynthia, who's your favorite baseball team then?
I'm from Michigan. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, so I will always be, you know, got to stay loyal to where I'm from, so. Also from another town with a terrible football team, so I understand what's going on.
So you get a pass then. We'll let that slide, because I was going to ask you if you could explain the analytics behind Jose Siri in center field yesterday. But that's a different story for a different day. I'm curious, as you break down numbers, we've always said when it comes to gambling, home field advantage is a field goal. Are there deeper analytics that can change that narrative? Is there more information than that you guys can put a number to these days when it comes to the home field in a tight game?
You know what's funny is, I hate to, like, put the asterisk here because of COVID still, but I do think, like, with all the protocols changes, different as last season, remember, we saw absolutely no home field advantage. In fact, away teams were winning at a higher clip for a while last season. This season, things are more back to normal. However, you still have some, like, different stadium, different rules, different states, different rules, different regulations, different, you know, we're not back to the kind of normal situation where part of the home field advantage of being able to play at home is you have your regular stuff, right? You have your regular, the things you know, the food, everything is very reliable. The schedule is very predictable, whereas when you're away, the schedule is very, you know, it's kind of at the mercy of whichever team you're playing. So it's interesting this season when you're seeing things like, I mean, the Chiefs don't win at home. The Chiefs win on the road, though. You know, it's weird because that's a good team, right? Like, you can see some interesting notes on that. So I think as we kind of see things get a little bit more back to normal, and by the way, then you've got two Los Angeles teams that, what is home field advantage in SoFi? I don't know. I mean, when I'm there, and I saw when I go to Chargers games, I don't see as many Chargers fans as I see opposite team fans. So it's interesting because some of the hard counts, and by the way, hard counts aren't working anymore. That's an interesting statistical note that I've been really digging, spending way too much time on considering it's the middle of the season. But the point is I'm not sure how things will evolve. It'll take a little while with some changes like post-COVID to really see it kind of get back to the normal three-point situation and regular changes. All these new stadiums, new rules, new everything makes things less predictable.
All right, so with that being said, and I don't want to get into it, the rabbit hole of the hard counts, but I'm curious now.
No, don't. It's a dark place.
It sounds like it. I'm fearful of the explanation, but I'm curious on home field advantages when you start thinking that way too. Best, everybody always argues, like, there's two things, best tailgating and best home field advantage. And everybody, some will say Kansas City, some will say Green Bay, and some will say, you know, the Steelers. I'm curious if there are numbers that you know of that you can say these are the top three for home field advantage.
As of right now, it seems like, and, you know, I'll have to check for this year, even though the Steelers are awful, seems like the Steelers have a very – their home field advantage does work. I will tell you firsthand, though, tailgating in Buffalo is way more fun than, like, anywhere else. Green Bay has been interesting, too. The hard part about Green Bay, and this is going to sound like another mean Lions take, but, you know, that division isn't very good. So it helps if you play in a not-so-good division to win more games at home because you're playing teams that aren't as good. So it's a little bit of chicken and a little bit of egg, but it does seem like the Steelers, for whatever reason, the Steelers do seem to have something goes on there. And there's probably like a behavioral science aspect that, you know, we all are kind of missing that seems very obvious. Like maybe it's something to do with the structure of their locker rooms versus the away or whatever. But, you know, there's something very, that's the only one. And I would argue before this year, the Patriots, or before, I guess, last year, when Tom Brady was there, the Patriots also had one.
Cynthia, I think the human element in the analytical question that I just asked you was, I should have mentioned that I'm a Packer fan from Wisconsin before I asked the question, but that's fine. We're all fine there. That's good.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, the Packers are great, good for the, although, you know, I'm going to tell you a funny story about the Packers, because on the NFL Network, you know, when we were talking about all the Aaron Rodgers drama, you know, I was saying that, you know, I had heard firsthand that it was between Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, and I spent my preseason with the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo Bills played the Packers in that third game. I'm standing in the tunnel. Gutekunst comes up to me and says, heard what you said about the NFL Network. I go, at least I can pronounce your name right. Not a liar.
Very true.
Not a liar. Yeah. What else am I going to say? I didn't say anything mean. Like, whatever. But it was very fun.
Cynthia Freeland, thanks so much for coming on. Great
appreciate
stuff.
You.
Yeah, thanks so much for having you guys.
You got it. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network. You can follow her on Twitter @CFreeland.